The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 2. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari. Recorded on June 21st, 2011, in Kasadesh.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Suta Uvacha.
Suta Uvacha.
Yam Pravajantam. Anupecha, apetya krityam, vapayano, viraha, katara, ajuhava, putreti, tan, mayataya, taravo, binudas, tam, sarvabhuta, Shradayam Munim Anatosmi. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Siddha Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, 'Oh, my son! Indeed, only the trees, which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the bereaved father.'" Purport. The institution of Varna in ashram prescribes many regulative duties to be observed by its followers. Such duties enjoin that a candidate willing to study the Vedas must approach a bona fide spiritual master and request acceptance as his disciple. The sacred thread is the sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharya, or the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Shukadeva Goswami did not undergo such purificatory ceremonies because he was a liberated soul from his very birth. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory processes he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for instruction in the Vedas. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born, or dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas, and after becoming well-versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra, or a qualified Brahman, thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate status of a Brahmin. A progressive Brahmin must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is the self-realized learned Brahmin. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the very beginning, therefore there was no need for him to undergo all the processes of the Varnashrama institution. Ultimately, the aim of Varnashrama Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or a Vaishnava. And therefore, anyone who becomes a Vaishnava accepted by first class, Vaishnava or Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava is already considered a Brahmana regardless of his birth or past deeds. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle and recognized Srila Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name, although Thakur Haridas appeared in a Mohammedan family. In conclusion, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Any low-born person, be he a Karata, Huna, Andra, Pulinda, Pukasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, Kasa, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of Vaishnavas. Srila Shukadev Goswami was the spiritual master of Srila Suta Goswami, who therefore offers his respectful obeisances unto Srila Shukadev Goswami before he begins his answers to the questions of the sages at Naimisharanya.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata Barakamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, the Prabhupada is explaining it is very, very important that one should become twice born. We get our first birth from our mother and father. But that does not mean we become highly qualified just by that birth. The cats and dogs also have mothers and fathers. So simply by getting mother and father, you know better than cat or dog. So if you actually want to realize the purpose of your human life, you must get a guru who is your father. And Prabhupada explains the Vedas, they are mother. So it's not that we are without mother and father. We have our father, our spiritual master, he is our father. And we have our mother, the Vedas. So just as the child is trained by the mother and father, the disciple is trained by his mother, the Vedas, and by his father, the spiritual master. In this way, he becomes happy. You see, nobody can be happy in this material world. Do you know why no one can be happy in this material world? Because it is an artificial atmosphere. If you were a fish, can you be happy on the land? Even if we give you a nice facility, we give you a Rolls Royce car, we give you a $1 million bank balance, we give you a beautiful girlfriend or boyfriend, we make you a famous rock star or soccer star, can you be happy? on the land. No, a fish can never be happy on the land. It doesn't matter how much facility that fish may have. You may even make him prime minister. But you may make him even Brahma, Lord Brahma. But he cannot be happy. Because he's in an artificial atmosphere. So we are fools, actually. We are trying to enjoy this artificial atmosphere by this arrangement and that arrangement. If I just get a college degree, then I will be happy. If I can just get married, I will be happy. If I can just get a divorce, I will be happy. So many ideas. If I can just somehow or other get some money, I will be happy. These are all false ideas. You cannot be happy in this material world. It's not possible. The only way to become happy is to come out of this material consciousness. This material consciousness is your worst enemy. If someone came to cut off your head, that would be a very dangerous enemy. But this energy, the material nature, is even more dangerous than that. So a murderer may kill you and then in one lifetime finished. He will not be able to follow you to your next birth and murder you again. But this material energy is murdering you lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, murdering you again and again and again and again and again. Therefore, the greatest enemy is this material energy. Do you understand these points? The greatest enemy is this material energy. So, one must become very powerful.
Powerful.
Yes, strong. To conquer the material nature. But how we can conquer it? It's like a huge ocean. And we're just a little tiny drop. But Krishna is more powerful than the material ocean. So if you will take shelter of Krishna, then you become relieved from the distress of material existence. Now someone may say, oh, this sounds like you're presenting a religion. We've seen how foolish the religious people are. Instead of working hard to become successful, they just want to pray to God to become successful. So it seems you Hare Krishna people, you're making another religion here. But that's not true. We are not presenting a type of religious faith. We want you to convert to our religion. We are simply teaching you how to be who you really are, that's all. The Sanskrit word is dharma. Dharma means that which is the intrinsic nature of a thing. It's like the dharma of sugar is sweetness. The dharma of water is wetness. So what is the dharma of you, the living being? You are a servant. Service is your dharma. So when that dharma becomes perfect, that tendency to serve becomes perfect. It will be offered to the source of all existence. The root of everything. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So if you water the root of existence, then you become perfect in service. Just as the watering the root distributes to the water to each part of the tree. When you offer your service to the supreme source of all existence, then you become perfect in your service. Because that loving service is distributed to every single living entity throughout all of existence. Including you. You are not left out. It includes your friends, your family members. Everyone is included. When you give your loving service to the supreme source of all existence, then you become the perfect servant of every single living entity throughout all of existence. So, this is the great lesson that is taught by Shukadeva Goswami. How to fully absorb oneself in service to that supreme source of existence. So now we can analyze what is that supreme source of existence. The modern day scientists will say, that supreme source of existence is void or absolute nothingness. Everything comes out of nothing. But I ask you, is that scientific? Science means observation and experiment. It doesn't mean you make theories simply out of the air. Just like when Newton formulated the law of gravity, he saw the apples falling from the tree. So he gave us Newton's law of gravity.
Sorry?
He gave us Newton's law of gravity. As if Newton was making the apples fall, is it? This is the pastime of the scientists. They want to name everything after themselves. So, at least Newton saw the apple falling from the tree. But where can we see that something is coming out of nothing? Has any scientist ever done an experiment in his test tube? Has it ever been seen? Do you have popcorn in China? That's called popcorn. You know, you put the corn and it goes pop, 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 pop. And very nice. You have it? Yeah. So when you make the popcorn, do you make it from an empty pot or you put some kernels in the pot? Has anybody ever made a pot full of popcorn from an empty pot? Has it ever been done? Has any scientist been able to produce a bag full of popcorn from an empty pot? No, it has never been done. To get popcorn, you have to take the popcorn kernels, and then from the kernels they pop out and become the big popcorn. Kernel is the seed before you pop it. It's called kernel. So simply by studying popcorn, we can understand that the universe doesn't come popping out of nothing. There has to be original substance from which the universe has come. There must be something there, some kind of substance. You understand? So we study, Prabhupada said our philosophy is substance. So we have to understand then what is the substance, which is the foundation of existence. If our nature is to serve that substance, then we should understand what is that substance. So we can render the first class service. It's like if you have a master and you're serving your master. The better you know your master, the better you can serve your master. So the better we can understand that substance, the better we can serve it. So let us analyze that substance. If I have a gold mine, then I can extract gold from that gold mine. I can extract gold from a gold mine because the gold mine possesses gold. If the gold mine has no gold, I cannot extract gold from it. So we see from that original substance, so many persons have come. I'm a person. You're a person. There are millions of persons here in Kasadesh. So we understand that therefore, since gold does not come from a goldless gold mine, there must be gold to produce, for gold to come out of the gold mine. That substance must possess personality. In order for persons to come out of the original substance, that original substance must possess personality. So my question is this. If something possesses personality, is it a person or is it not a person? What is the answer? Jeffrey, what is the answer?
Yes.
Something possesses personality, is it a person or is it not a person?
Yes, surely it's a person.
It is.
Yes.
Yes. Something impersonal cannot possess personality. If that substance possesses personality, it must indeed be a person. Therefore, calling it is artificial. We don't call persons it. That's artificial. So therefore, even though we may sometimes call that original substance it, as a matter of philosophical understanding, if we want to come to a higher level of relationship with that substance, then we refer to it as a person. He or she. It's like a person is either a he or a she, is it? So is that original substance he or she? Someone may debate. Now the feminists, they will argue, it is a she. The God is a she.
Is it?
But all these scriptures in the world, they say God is a he. But the Vedic scriptures, they say God is actually, we refer to God as she, he. Radha Krishna, you see.
Radha Krishna.
And in the Vedic culture, we worship the feminine aspect and the masculine aspect of God as Radha Krishna. Or Sita Ram,
or
Lakshmi Narayan, you see. So we have a problem with she, he controversy about God. But we understand the original nature of that substance is masculine. Because when there is pregnancy, it is the male who impregnates the female. The male is the seed-giving father. And he impregnates the female. So ultimately, that supreme source of existence is male or masculine. And if someone is male or masculine, we call them he. So now we understand that that original source is he. But which he is he? There's so many he's. There's millions and billions of he's. So which he is the original one, you see? That we have to find him. If we're going to serve him, we got to find out who he is. I mean, many people have different ideas who he is, you see. But if we want to get the benefit, then we have to actually find out scientifically, factually, who he is. So how will we find out? Can we devise some kind of a test to determine who he is? Well, actually, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a great sage, his name is Parashara Muni. And this Parashara Muni, he already devised a test. Parashara Muni.
Not Parashuram.
Parashara.
Parashara.
Parashara. Parashara.
Parashara.
Yeah, Parashara Muni. Not Parasaram. That's different. This is Parashara. He's the father of Vyasadeva. So Parashara Muni, Parashara Muni, he devised a test by which we can determine who is that, who is God, who is that original substance. And he described God in this way. By six qualities. Power. Beauty. Renunciation. Knowledge. Wealth. And fame. If you consider it, these are the things that are attractive to us in this world.
If
someone is very powerful, we're attracted to that person. If someone is very renounced, we're attracted to that person. If someone is very, very beautiful, we're attracted. If someone is knowledgeable, wealthy or famous, these qualities also attract us very much. These are the six aspects of attractiveness. In this world, somebody has beauty, but they don't have any power. Or they have wealth, but they don't have fame. They may have fame, but they don't have the quality of renunciation. So you find in this world that nobody is really has all these qualities in full. So if you can find one person who has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, and unlimited fame. That person is the supreme substance, God. So we can study then all the great personalities through history. And see who wins the competition. So it has been concluded by great Vedic scientists. That supreme Godhead is known as Krishna. Who appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. to speak the Bhagavad Gita to his disciple Arjuna. So, we can also take lessons. Just as Krishna spoke to Arjuna, we can read the Bhagavad Gita and we can take those instructions to Arjuna as being instructions to ourselves. Because Arjuna actually didn't need to hear those things. He's Krishna's eternal associate. Arjuna played the role of a person who was an illusion. So that we could be instructed. Just like you're an illusion. Did you know that? You are an illusion. Why do we say you're an illusion? Because you think you're that body. Therefore, you are an illusion. That is our position. We are an illusion. Arjuna is not an illusion. But he assumed that mood of someone who was disillusioned, like an actor on the stage, just so that Krishna could instruct us in these teachings. So now, if we will take the guidelines given in the Bhagavad Gita, we will come out of our suffering condition, misidentifying with this temporary body. And we can regain our original position in the spiritual sky. What could be more easy? Somebody chant Hare Krishna. Take some prasadam. Associate with the Vaishnava. You see, in this way you become perfect. Such an easy formula. We can make the whole world happy. But they're so proud they will not take. I don't need your Krishna, I am great. But they are great, all right, great fools. We acknowledge their greatness, they are great fools. That person who is not a fool, he engages in loving service to that Supreme Person, Lord Sri Krishna. In this way he makes his life perfect. So we have come now to your Kasa Desh to request you to seriously take up this pathway of bhakti. Kindly make this your last lifetime in this material existence. There is absolutely no reason for you to go on suffering in the cycle of birth and death. To do so is the greatest foolishness. So we are imploring you, please, to not be fools. Tamasi ma jyoti gama. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Have faith in the process of bhakti. Associate with the pure devotees of the Lord. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Get initiated. Become purified. Become firmly fixed in devotional service. Taste the transcendental sweetness of Krishna's names. Become completely attached to Krishna. Have that awakening of spiritual emotions within your heart. And ultimately achieve pure love of God, Krishna Prema. This is our request. Kindly become completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
们有什么问题可以问。
I have one question. 就是我去实习的那个地方，然后是一个有佛教的地方，然后有一个姐姐她送了我一串佛珠，然后
念珠，
哎对对，一串戴在手上的念珠，然后还有一些佛像，我可以把它拿回家，然后那样子吗？因为在家里的话，我家里可能没有听说过风儿瑜伽，但是对于佛教可能要好一些，所以我爸爸妈妈他们，我想让他们吃素念佛。
哦，你住在家里？
就是以后回家嘛，就是在家里，因为我们在我们那些地方，
我先帮你翻译吧。She's now in a probation period. Work probation.
Probation.
Yeah. So she said in her workplace there are some maybe there is some Buddhist temple. There are some Buddhists there, and they gave her some beads, some Buddhist like Buddha's pictures. So she wants to know if she can take those pictures home, because her family members don't know about anything about Krishna, but they know something about Buddha. So she's wondering if she can try to help them to become vegetarian and worship Buddha.
That's an interesting idea. You could take a picture of Buddha and a picture of Krishna. You say this is another form of Buddha. Tell him this is the beautiful form of Buddha. Buddha, he keeps his beauty within. But in this form of Buddha called Krishna, Buddha lets his beauty come out like a blooming flower, you see. This is the bloom. When Buddha becomes bloomed Buddha, he is called Krishna. This is the bloomed Buddha.
So
I'm worshipping Buddha in his fully bloomed form, you see. The bloomed Buddha.
Krishna. Will that become an offense to Krishna? Will that become offensive to Krishna?
No. Krishna will appreciate your trick.
Krishna will appreciate your trick.
You're being very clever, you see. You'll appreciate, she's a very clever girl. Krishna will appreciate your cleverness. How you are bringing your family to Krishna consciousness. You know, Buddha, he was very tricky also. Buddha taught atheism. But he is God himself. So Buddha, he is also a trickster. So now in the tradition of Buddha, you are tricking your family members into becoming Krishna conscious.
So 现在暂时就是没有多大的兴趣，对，就说在这种情况下，就是我怎么能让我的母亲尽快的转变过来？而且如果在家里的话，就是她很不愿意，就是让放 Krishna 这方面的东西书籍。像这样的话，如果是供奉的时候。就是还可以，就是可以同时，
两个的供奉，是 Krishna 和佛祖啊。
对。
你说可不可以放在同样的神坛上来一起进行供奉？是这样。
对对，我是不是可以把供奉过 Krishna 的，然后就是我自己偷偷的供奉过 Krishna， 然后。再让我母亲她不知道嘛，再让她共同给佛祖，这是不是一种冒犯？
She's in a similar situation. She lives at home, and her parents, so especially her mother, she doesn't like Bhakti Yoga. She's very pious, a Buddhist. She only worships Lord Buddha. So she wants to know, she's very much against her. She doesn't like her chanting also. And so she's wondering when she goes home, how can she help her mother to become a devotee? And she also asks if she can...
Wait a minute, her mother is completely against Krishna consciousness?
She doesn't.
You want to help her become a devotee?
She wants to help her mother.
Yeah, I want to.
Such persons, all you can do, if someone is against it, all you can do is give them prasadam and don't tell them it's prasadam. Just like I was preaching to one Indian Christian, a Christian Indian. Actually, I was not preaching. I formerly was a businessman and I had a business partner. He was an Indian Christian. So I wanted to give him some prasadam. And as being a Christian and knowing about prasadam, he said, oh, is it prasadam? Because as soon as I say it is prasadam, they say, oh no, I don't want prasadam. So I told him, oh no, it's not prasadam. And then he took this. So in this way, you have to, if your mother is against Krishna consciousness, like my business, his name is Willie. Willie. It's like Willie is against, but I tricked him into taking prasad. So in this way, you have to trick your mother. Don't tell her it's prasadam. Just say, oh, there's some really nice cookies or some nice cake.
Can I say something?
Let him translate it, and then you can speak.
所以呢,他就说,就好像我当时骗我的那个同伴一样,那个叫威力,他这个生意同伴,你也可以这样骗你的妈妈,就说这不是自杀,你不要跟他说这是自杀的,然后让他吃下去就好了。
So this is my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. My disciples call her Guru Mata.
这个是他的妻子, Vishnupriya Mata, 然后他的朋友们,他的门徒就称他为 Devi.
They call me Guru Dev, Guru Dev and Guru Mata, that's how the disciples go. So anyway, Guru Mata wants to
make point. Her mother is a devotee of Buddha.
Oh, the mother is a devotee of Buddha. So she's a vegetarian then?
Yeah.
She is.
For at least 10 years. What she said?
She said she's been a vegetarian for more than 10 years and she's chanting Lord Buddha's name.
Oh, yeah, okay. So then she can put a small photograph where Buddha is. Be with her mother.
Uh-huh.
If you approve of it, she can put a photograph of Krishna together and she said that I'm worshipping Buddha. She can make the offering there.
Krishna
is there, and Buddha is there.
Krishna,
Buddha, put a picture of Krishna also along with Buddha. Tell her this is the bloomed Buddha.
She wouldn't like it. She wouldn't like it. She was asking earlier.
She has to put a very small secret photograph.
So her mother
doesn't know. Or she can meditate on Krishna when she makes the offering to Buddha. Krishna can hear.
She was asking if she can secretly offer this food to Krishna first and then offer to Buddha.
No,
you can offer it to Buddha. Seeing Buddha as Krishna, as an Krishna avatar, you can offer the food to Buddha. In your mind, you cannot think of Krishna while you're offering it to Buddha.
Just offer it to Buddha. Make a plate, put it in front of Buddha, meditate on Krishna.
听明白了吗？他说：“你说你可以把这个食物放在佛祖面前，但你心里想的是在供奉给 Krishna， 你在供奉的时候冥想的是 Krishna。”
Meditate on the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada Panchatattva.
同时呢，冥想灵性导师圣帕帕。
That way she will think that you are becoming Buddha.
让他认为你在成为佛教徒。
I had just like I have one disciple. He's married to a Muslim woman.
Muslim woman.
And he's living in a Muslim country.
See,
if he openly tries to chant Hare Krishna, they will kill him. So he pretends that he's chanting some Muslim prayers on his japa. In this way, no one suspects that he's a devotee of Krishna. They think he's a good, very pious Muslim, chanting the name of Allah every day on beads. So in this way, your mother should think, oh, my daughter has become such a pious Buddhist. She's every day chanting the name of Buddha on her prayer bead.
And instead of telling her, you chant Hare Krishna on your beads, but when she complains, then you can say, you chant Buddha's name on this.
Yes. If I chant the Buddha's name, she will...
She can say that this is very good. She can chant, but you secretly chant Hare Krishna.
Just chant quietly, huh?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'm chanting the name of Buddha, Mother.
You just
got to chant very softly so she can't hear what you're saying.
You know. You can use Buddhist beads
in front of your mother and chant Buddha mantra, and then secretly you chant your Hare Krishna mantra. Separately.
Do the Buddhists have any mantras they chant, the Buddhist monks?
I just sit and chant for a while. Amitoko, whatever.
Yeah.
You can chant a Buddhist mantra out loud, very loudly on your beads. Now they have one, Namme Gyoko Renge Kyoho, or something like that.
Two hours.
She chants. Let her chant. But you can chant for a while and then go to the park or somewhere and chant your Hare Krishna.
Krishna
can understand Krishna. Buddha is on Krishna, so don't worry.
You have to be a daring revolutionary.
Once you are married, then mother cannot say anything.
Okay, anything else?
That's
what I said. Married, no problem, he said.
What I said, the whole system.
Sounds okay, yeah.
She's asking if she can ask her mother to do any offering to Krishna when she's not at home.
When she offered her Buddha to Buddha?
Well, she's making offering to Buddha. If she's vegetarian, I think you can take it. What do you say?
Oh, the mother is cooking an offering to Buddha?
Yeah.
But
and it's vegetarian?
Yeah.
Always offer fruits, nuts, and some sweet thing.
Yeah, I would. If it's not, it's cooked food or fresh fruits?
Fresh fruits. She offers cooked food, she does not.
Nuts.
She offers fruits to Buddha?
Yes.
I would take it,
at
sure.
At least two times
a day.
Fruits, wow.
Fruits, nuts, sweets.
Two times a month.
And Buddha goes, has to go hungry the rest of the time?
But every day offer the water and some...
Tell her, why do you want to keep Buddha hungry? You should feed her Buddha every day. Why you are keeping hungry? You eat every day?
You eat every day?
I can't have it this way.
You eat every day, why? You eat... You give Buddha meat two times a month? Why do you eat every day?
Oh, yeah. Is this way so she can become...
Yeah, she can. At least remain. She can build. She is worshipping indirectly Krishna. That's what Buddha told the Buddhists, that just worship Buddha. Give up the Vedas. Trick them to worship Lord Krishna.
Yeah. It's better to offer Buddha to Buddha then not
offer. Not to offer, yeah. But because Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna. Tell her tomorrow.
Yeah, every day.
Just don't offer onion and garlic, tell her.
Oh, yes.
But
she does not take this.
Okay. Then she can offer everything to Buddha.
Anything else?
Happy.
Any other question? Any philosophical question?
我有哲学问题，我是已经给写了一封信，但是还没有收到回复。我现在想问这个问题，就是如何看待主Krishna对我们的保护？我们完全依赖主Krishna的保护，那我们可不可以在高速公路上开飞车，同时认为不会撞死，或者是？工作不认真就认为能自己挣到钱，或者是学习不认真，不花时间学习就能认为考试能够通过。我们如何权衡这个对主奎斯纳保护的依赖，还有就自己保护自己，权衡这两点？你翻译？
你好像会英文吧？
He's
basically asking if he say we completely depend on Krishna all the time, so can we?Drive like very fast on the highway thinking Krishna will protect us, and we don't study or don't work, we think Krishna will give us everything.
Actually, your duty is to be responsible because you're dealing with Krishna's property. That body is not your body. That car is not your car. It's Krishna's car. So you have to take very good care of those things which are the property of Krishna. So it's not that you should be irresponsible and ask and expect Krishna to cover for your irresponsibility. You should be very, very responsible. Krishna can give protection. But if you're too irresponsible, Krishna can also teach you a lesson also. So you want his protection or you want his lesson? If you're very responsible, then you will see Krishna in the form of his protection. But if you become irresponsible, you will see Krishna in the form of his lesson. So it's your choice how you would like to experience Krishna as protection or as lesson. So now you decide whether you want to be responsible or irresponsible.
Is it that we should deal with this world according to our ability, full ability? Is it that we deal with this material world as far as we can to make the biggest effort?
So what's the question?
Is it that we should deal with this world expertly?
How do we deal with it?
Is it that we should deal with this world expertly? And
yes, we should deal with it expertly.
As far as we can.
Yes, of course. Expertly means, you translate for the others now. Expertly means, in fully absorbed in Krishna's service. So as far as possible, engage everything in Krishna's service. Your tongue, by vibrating Krishna's holy names, by taking prasadam. Your ears, by hearing the glories of the name. Your feet, by walking to a Krishna conscious program. Whatever you have, engage it in Krishna's service. That is expert.
Can I say something?
Any other questions?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
As you have said to him about responsible and irresponsible, in another sense, when we are irresponsible, then we want Krishna to serve us. We should be responsible to serve Krishna, not that Krishna has to serve me.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah, don't engage Krishna in your service. You engage in Krishna's service. That I put my, I drive my car 100 miles an hour and expect 100 miles per hour and expect Krishna to serve me by protecting me.
Or else I don't want to work and Krishna has to bring me things.
No. I mean, is it that we should work very hard in this world?
No, not so hard. You should work hard for spiritual advancement. That is your first priority. And then, whatever livelihood will best facilitate, you may take. We have no objection if somebody is successful materially. If you want to be highly successful materially, there's no harm. Arjuna was highly successful materially. He defeated every other warrior in the battlefield.
Amrish, Ford Company.
Amrish.
He's highly materially successful. He's serving Krishna, making the temple.
It's like I have a disciple in Eastern Europe. He's the most successful radio station entrepreneur in the whole country. He owns 3 radio stations. Very successful businessman. So if one wants to be successful in this world, that's all right. But as long as you offer the results to Krishna, then there's no harm. According to your nature to work, you can work. There's no harm. But don't become greedy. And now I have earned this, it is mine. It's by God's grace you earned it. So it is the property of God. You engage it in God's service. Okay?
How about the mentality in working? The mentality in working. We depend on Krishna, but we are still working to make money. What should be our mentality?
Make money for Krishna.
Make as much as possible?
Huh?
As much as possible?
Point of sacrificing your Krishna consciousness. If someone thinks, well, I want to make as much money as possible, so there's no time for japa, there's no time to go to Krishna conscious program, I'm just going to work like a dog and make as much. That's not good. You tell the translation. You have to remember your first business, your first duty is to become Krishna conscious. You need to chant 16 rounds of japa mala every day. And read Prabhupada's books. So if you've covered that, if you're chanting nicely, you're reading nicely, you're offering your food, you have good sadhana, then you can work as hard as you want to make as much money as possible.
Live comfortably and serve Krishna at the same time.
You can have a nice house. We have a nice comfortable house. There's no problem. You can have a nice car. We have no objection if you have a nice facility. But use it all in Krishna's service. That's it. Don't use it for sense enjoyment. Any other questions?
Yes. 关于就是和这个问题有关的一个，我想问就是，
如果是两位奉献者，一位就是他既可以在灵修方面取得成功，也可以在物质生活方面获得成功，然后另外一位是可以在就是只能在灵修方面获得完全的成功，就是说就这两位奉献者来说，就是他们哪一个的服务是更好，还是同等的，只不过是根据每个奉献者他自己不同的情况或不同的愿望。就说我们假如我们如果是既想在灵修方面成功，又想在物质生活方面成功的话，那么这种就是这种成功，而且是为 Krishna 啊是去服务的话，那么这种成功是不是也是灵性的？
Basically, she was asking, like, suppose there were two devotees. The one was very successful both materially and spiritually. The other was only successful in spiritual life. Shall we consider, like, who is better or they are actually just different?
That depends.
都看情况。
The one who is more Krishna conscious, he is the most successful.
那个最具有 Krishna 智慧的人是最成功的。
His material success does not... It doesn't. One can be a powerful king, or one can be a pauper. That doesn't matter.
一个人可以是一个强大的国王，也可以是一个很贫穷的人，都没关系。
Whoever is more Krishna conscious, they are the most advanced.
只有那个最具有 Krishna 智觉的人，他是最成功的。
我想问一下，因为我到那边去是当一个实习老师嘛，下面就是一些中学生，他们也是很天真，有时候问我一些问题，我也不知道，就说他们知道我不杀生，然后他们就问我那天有一个女生，她不注意，她玩不注意踩死了一只虫子，她还跑过来问我她该怎么办。不注意踩死了一只虫子。
She has a student who sometimes because they know she's a vegetarian,so sometimes they would ask her questions. One day she said her student, when she was playing, she happened to step on a worm and kill it. So she came to ask her what to do.
You stepped on a worm? You stepped on a worm?
No, her student.
Her student stepped on a worm. She's a teacher?
Probation teacher.
Babysitter?
No.
Internship.
Internship. It's right.
Internship teacher.
She is learning
to be a teacher.
And one of your students stepped on a worm. Well, your student let it become a worm. That's a...
Now her student came to ask her what she should do
after
doing that.
Then you asked the worm to forgive.
你让他向那个虫子道歉，祈求原谅。
我刚当时我想的是在心里念三声 Hare Krishna。然后我在想他根本就不接没接触到这些，然后我又怕对圣明有所冒犯，我说那你要跟他说对不起，然后他就跑去跟他说对不起。
But if she wants to be really relieved, she has to surrender to Krishna. The only real relief is to surrender to Krishna. The only way to prevent herself from becoming a worm is to surrender to Krishna.
但是唯一让自己不要变成虫子的方法就是让他去皈依 Krishna.
Tell her if you surrender to Krishna, you're okay. Otherwise, you'll take birth as a worm, and that worm will step on you.
他说：“你如果皈，你跟他说你要皈依 Krishna 没关系，但如果你不皈依的话，你下辈子会变成虫子，然后另外一个人踩在你身上来
做。” Can she say that to her students? Can she say that to her students?
Well, I don't know if you can say that here in Kasadesh, but.
She said her immediate response, like for herself, it was to say Hare Krishna three times, but then she thought it would be hard for her to accept that. So she just asked her to say something.
Well, just tell her, don't worry, tell her you'll become a worm in your next birth. And
she can preach to, from the Buddha side, they can understand.
Tell her, according to Lord Buddha's teachings, you will have to become a worm in your next birth.
Then she'll be scared.
Yeah.Don't say that thing, everything.
Not where you'll get, the worm will get even with you.
She has to become like...
He'll become a human being and he'll step on you.
No?
What do you think?
No, she has to pray to Buddha. in form of Krishna. That much you can say.
Ask Buddha to. Anyway.
I'd
have to. These sort of questions are always difficult to answer because I'm not there, I don't see the person's mentality. Many people do that. They will say, well, I what should I say to this person or that person? The best thing is have that person come and ask me, and then I can judge the best way to answer. Have that person come and inquire for me, and that's the best way I can judge to give the best answer. You come ask my spiritual teacher, he will tell you.
She said because she's a teacher, so all the students trust her very much. But then she herself doesn't know what to do in this situation. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to hurt them.
The student trusts her a lot, but she does not know what to tell them.
Well, then you have to bring them here.
Yep.
Will they come? How much do they trust you? If they really trust you, they'll come here. I mean, it's really hard. Preaching is very much according to time, place, and an individual. It's very hard to give, you know, what do they call stock answers or stand, you know, one answer. You really have to see the individual circumstance.
How much you can preach, you will know. We are the first time here.
Any other questions?
When you said when we serve Lord Krishna, then we render best service to every living beings. So this service to every living being is indirect, and it is by our serving to Krishna, and then Krishna will be pleased with us. So his mercy, the living beings around us get a benefit.
Do you understand the question?
Yeah, she's saying many times you say that by serving Krishna you are serving all the living beings. And Krishna becomes pleased, and so that everybody around, all the living around, can become happy and Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
What is the question?
Yes, and also when we serving Krishna and the service to other living beings is indirect, not directly.
Service to other living entities indirect or direct?
When you serve them, are you serving Krishna?
No.
When you serve Krishna.
When
you're
serving to Krishna, then are you...
You're directly giving them the best service.
So you can explain how.
Yeah.
It's like when you feed your belly, you're nourishing every part of your body. If you try to nourish, it's like your hand requires nutrition.
Service.
If you say, the hand says, I don't want to feed the belly, I just want to feed myself. I will squeeze the rice in my fingers, you see. The hand cannot get any nutrition by squeezing the rice in the finger. But if the hand feeds the belly, then it gets full nutrition. So when you serve Krishna, you're giving direct service to every living entity throughout all of existence. You're feeding everyone. You're giving everyone the greatest loving service when you serve Krishna. So is it difficult to serve Krishna? You simply chant Hare Krishna. By your vibrating Hare Krishna, you're giving the best service to your mother. The best service to your father. The best service to your friends. The best service to the Kasha Deshis. The best service to everyone throughout the whole existence. You must have faith in this principle. Otherwise, how you can surrender? You would think, if I surrender to Krishna, then I'm cheating my mother. I'm cheating my father. I'm cheating my friends. You must have full faith. You must have unflinching faith. That by surrendering to Krishna, you're giving the best service to everyone. Including yourself. And then you will be able to surrender. Otherwise, you'll always be holding back.
When
we serve Krishna, we only think of Krishna and no one else. Does that mean we are still serving others?
When we serve, with question?
When we are serving Krishna, we are only thinking of Krishna. So still we are serving others also.
But Krishna includes everyone.
Krishna 本人已经包括了所有人，所有人都是他的一部分。
How, when you're not, you cannot leave anyone. If you're serving Krishna, then if you're in the mood of serving Krishna, and you see a living being, one of the jivas, you will see, oh, here is this jiva soul, part and parcel of Krishna. If you're serving Krishna, you will have the best perception of everyone, who they actually are. Instead of seeing them as being their body, which is a false vision, they're saying, oh, this is a man, this is a woman, that is a faulty vision. If you're serving Krishna, you will see everyone as their true identity. This is an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. But this poor soul has forgotten Krishna and is suffering in this cycle of birth and death. When you see Krishna, you will see everyone perfectly. If you don't see Krishna, you will not see anyone perfectly. If you are not Krishna conscious, you will have faulty vision. You will not see who is your mother, who is your father. You will never see who their real identity. You will simply see the costumes, the false covering. So you must awaken your Krishna consciousness. You must be fully absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day. And then you'll have perfect vision of every single living being throughout this whole world. Krishna is not alone. Krishna is there with all of his expanded forms. He has two types of expanded forms. Integrated expansions.
Sorry?
Integrated. And separated expansions. The integrated expansions are the incarnations of God. And the separated expansions, that's us. We are the God's separated expansions. So when you see Krishna, then you will see everyone as they actually are. Otherwise, you will be a complete blind fool. So don't you remain a blind fool. You awaken your Krishna consciousness. Always remember Krishna. And don't you ever forget him. Never. So any other questions?
She understand that
problem.
She has not understood, then I want to explain. Can I explain?
Yes, you can give further explanation.
Taking the example of the belly. Does she think that I'm giving food to my ear? When she is eating, she is thinking I'm giving food to my leg. If I don't give food here, then my leg is not getting food. She's thinking that by eating here, I'm giving food to my. Does she meditate on all the body parts?
So
she understands only she is hungry, so she needs to put the food in the mouth. So that's how you need to just worship Krishna. And all the living entities are parts of Krishna. Do you meditate on different parts of the body when you eat?
当你吃饭的时候, 你有冥想你身体的其他的部位吗? 有吗?
No, so then you just eat. So then Krishna is the main person, and all the living entities are different parts. But if you want to serve one living entity, living one person, then you are not doing service to anybody.
But
serving Krishna only, like putting food into the belly mouth, you are serving all the parts. So by serving Krishna, you are serving all the parts. Not only human being, all the insects, all the creatures, all the trees, everybody you are serving. You don't have to meditate on that. You don't meditate on the bodily parts.
所以从这个方面来说，那我们就是在服务Krishna的时候，我们对每个人的，服务，那应该是既是直接的，又是间接的。So
does that mean when we serve Krishna, our service to other living entities are both direct and indirect?
You can say that, but it's direct.
但其实是直接的。
Because if Krishna doesn't give anybody, you cannot serve anybody.
因为如果Krishna不给任何人的话，你就是任何人都没法服务的。
It's like if you try to water the root of the tree, you try to just imagine the leaf on the tree.
就好像你给树根浇水，你
say, well, I don't want to water that leaf indirectly. I want to water directly. I'll put the water directly on the leaf.
然后你想着我不想给这个树叶子间接的浇水，我想给它直接浇水。
But did you really water the leaf?
所以你就把水浇在树叶子上面。
No, the way to water the leaf is water the root. Then you're directly watering the leaf. You see? If I want to feed my hand, I say, well, I only want direct, so I'll just give the rice like this and give direct food to the hand. No, that's indirect. Actually, it's not even indirect.
Can get it.
Actually, if you try to serve without serving Krishna, you're not serving him at all. You're doing disservice. If you try to feed the hand directly, the rice directly to the hand will not get any nutrition. So when you try to serve them directly, you're doing them a disservice.
Violence.
You're committing violence on them. But when you serve Krishna, then you're giving him direct service, first class service. So you must have unflinching faith in this principle.
Why
violence? Does she understand that? Can I explain?
You can explain. Why is it violent? If you don't connect them with Krishna, how is it you're committing violence upon them? Because you're allowing them to, you're killing them actually by allowing them to remain in the clutches of the material nature. If you don't make them Krishna conscious, you're their murderer. Because you're sending them to the clutches of Maya. I think we can stop here.
Yeah, it's getting late.
And we'll have, okay, Jai. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.
Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki Jai.
ISKCON Katsa Des Devotees ki Jai.